Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers on the broadcast today, coming to you from Washington, D.C., United States Senator Catherine Cortez Masto. Here for the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers Goes to Washington is brought to you by Pro Group Management, Workers' Comp that works for you. NV Energy. NV Energy proudly serves Nevada, providing electricity to 2.4 million electric customers. The Nevada Mining Association, mining a better future for Nevada. And University Medical Center of Southern Nevada, offering the highest level of care in Nevada.
They want us to believe we only have two options. That's just not working anymore. I've never been a follower. I'm a businessman and entrepreneur. I'm ready to forge a new path to secure our future. One that keeps Northern Nevada free, fair, and wild. A path that means freedom for all, including affordable housing.
I'm Greg Kidd, and I approve this message because I'm not from either political party. I'm for Nevada.
Story County is leading Nevada. Home of the Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center, Google, Tesla, Panasonic, and other world-leading companies. Story County provides thousands of tech, advanced manufacturing, and logistics careers for Nevadans. We're diversifying and driving Nevada's economy and generating millions in tax revenue and billions in economic activity across Northern Nevada. Story County is leading Nevada's future.
What do you count on? You count on your power every day. At NV Energy, we've always powered what's important to you. But we're not looking at the past. We're focused on the future. While our standards are high, our rates will remain low. And our commitment to renewables isn't just meeting standards, but leading the way. Because you can count on more than just your power. You can count on the company who brings it to you. That's our promise. You can count on it.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, coming to you from Washington, D.C., we are delighted, as always, to welcome back to the program United States Senator Catherine Cortez Masto. Thank you for being here.
Welcome to D.C.
Thank you. And, of course, the craziest time of the year, which is the 3 weeks before everything shuts down.
Well, we hope it doesn't shut down. You mean
when? Were you done for the year?
Yes. Well, we're done for October through November, and then we come back
right.
and finish before the end of the year because we've got a lot of work on it. We've got a lot of stuff to do still.
Yes, the lame duck is a very important
yes.
thing. All right, let's start out with a phone call I made this morning, mm-hmm. Which was to Jamila Bush, who is the president of the Reno American Postal Workers Union. Mm-hmm. And she was saying that despite what's been published in the news media, things are not settled yet with what's happening with mail going to Sacramento and then having to come back to Reno, that the letter part is done, the ballots part is done, but she was very concerned about packages because she said there are a lot of businesses that may want to relocate because they won't be able to get their mail out and back in time for their clients, especially to compete with companies like Amazon. Where are we, in your opinion, with these negotiations?
Yeah, no, it's a great point because I was actually in Reno, just came back from Reno when I was at Labor Fest, and I met some of our postal workers there. And so the point of the matter is, and you're absolutely right, it requires our vigilance, right? We're one step of preventing the processing to go from Sacramento from Reno, so we got to keep it there. But our all eyes of the delegation are still on the postmaster and what he is going to do at the end of the day. Most importantly, the reason why, and I'll be very candid here, Jackie Rosen took the lead on a lot of this because she's on the Committee of Jurisdiction, but she was just like a bulldog, was not going to let them do this to us. But a lot of the reason why we knew about it is because of our postal workers in our state. And that's where this information comes from. So what I've told the postal workers, tell us what you're hearing. We hear one thing, and they respond to us and say, oh, yeah, we're not going to transfer the processing, and it'll be okay, and we're going to work through all of this, and we're still going to do the reforms that we want to do. But again, the devil's in the detail, particularly with this Postmaster General. So it is important for us to continue to hear what is actually happening on the ground from those who know In our communities, and I think that's why it requires us to be vigilant. The good news is the entire delegation is on top of this and is going to follow through with this.
There was another thing she brought up, which I'd like to jump in here with. Mm-hmm. She was talking about the potential that there won't be job losses of 50 to 60 people, but they could be moved within an area of 50 miles, but they could get special dispensation, the post office could, to move people out further. So what are your concerns there?
Well, it's the same concerns we had when we had the members of the post office in talking with us at a national level. They couldn't answer these questions. That was one of my questions, was how many people are going to be displaced if you are looking to do this, and what does that mean to you, a displaced worker? Does that mean somebody that has to relocate, or is that somebody that is out of a job? They couldn't answer that question, and they still can't. This is part of the challenge that we have, and that's why we're going to continue to be vigilant about what this looks like moving forward. That's why I say this is a great first step for us to keep the processing in Reno, but there's more work to be done, because at the end of the day, we need to know the details from the post office and the postmaster general, and they're not willingly giving us those details. And let me just say one final thing. It's not just unique to Nevada. This is happening across the country in other rural communities, both to some of my Democratic colleagues and Republican colleagues. So we are all very concerned and can continue to be vigilant about what this means for our communities if they're still moving forward with some sort of reform.
One last thing on this. Jamila also mentioned that there's the possibility of people being moved out of the Reno area and end up sitting in offices doing nothing. But still being on the payroll, which reminds me of what happened in the auto industry back in the 70s when union contracts required that people be kept on, but there was no work for them.
Well, that's why the Postmaster General has to become with answers to all these questions that we have that they haven't been able to answer, and that's why it's important we hold them accountable.
Okay.
And in our oversight committees, with Jackie is on the committee of jurisdiction, this is part of that process.
You're the chairman of Senate Energy and Natural Resources Subcommittee on Public Lands, Forests, and Mining. And as everybody knows, mining industry supports 83,000 jobs in Nevada. Much has been written about the lithium loop, but the one part that we're missing is lithium processing. So what are your thoughts on locating that in Nevada, and if so, where, so it's not an issue with environmentalists?
So part of the work that I have done in the bipartisan infrastructure package and the Inflation Reduction Act was not just to support the extraction of lithium, but to provide incentives for that processing and bringing those jobs from overseas back into the United States. That is key for us to really have this, the entire loop that we're calling about, this lithium loop. So is there an opportunity to have it in Nevada, the processing, and other states? Absolutely. That's what we want to do. But we also have to look at, as we are looking at this processing, where does it make sense to site these based on the environment itself? Some of the processing can be water intensive. So we have to figure out, does that make sense for Nevada, or does it make sense for maybe some state on the East Coast where there's an abundance of water? But it requires us to work together. The most important thing is to bring those jobs from China, bring those jobs from other countries back to the United States.
All right. So at this point in time, there's no particular site that you're looking at in Nevada where you would like to see this processing done?
No, I think right now our focus is really starting with the extraction piece of it. The part of the tax incentives where let's start looking at where lithium exists and look at the extraction, that first step of it.
Describe in simple terms for me and the audience, I'm the simple one, the Rosemont decision and what that means.
So the Rosemont decision that came down from the Ninth Circuit basically said, it took mining law that existed for, over 50 years or so, that mining companies, what they normally would do would say they identify an area where there's critical mineral or the mineral that they want to mine. And when you're mining, when you're doing hard rock mining, there's ancillary things, services, things that you have to put alongside that mill site as you're mining. Typically, that would be done alongside land that does not have critical mineral underneath it, because why would you put ancillary things under it? When Rosemont was decided by the Ninth Circuit just recently, they said, well, whoa, you can't use those that ancillary site unless you can show that there's minerals that you need underneath the surface of that land. Well, that made no sense. So what I have done with Jim Risch, who's my Republican colleague, and this, there's been bipartisan support for this, say, wait, let's introduce the Mining Clarity Act and take us back to a time before Rosemont when this was already happening. That made sense, that we could mine for this critical mineral, the ancillary site areas that we need to put our ancillary services on, we would put it on, and it would not be on, or we'd have to show that there's critical mineral under that surface, because it just does not make sense. So that's basically what the Mining Clarity Act does, and we were able to actually pass that in the permitting bill that we actually passed out of the Senate committee last month. And we're still working to move it through the Senate and the House.
Okay. And just to clarify, what you're talking about is the waste that comes out from a mine.
No. So when you're mining, remember, you got to have electricity. So you have to put up electrical capabilities, right, to have the electricity. Well, some of that may be on an ancillary site. It's not going to be right where you're mining, right, the hard rock mine. So you got to put it somewhere else. Or you have tailings, or you have equipment that is not going to be right on where you're mining. You're going to have it.
Okay, so I guess that's what I used the wrong terminology. Tailings would be the appropriate word to use. It's interesting that you mention that it's silly to put things on places where you have critical minerals, but at Thacker Pass, they have so much lithium there that their headquarters that they're building is actually on the place where they have the least amount of lithium because it's everywhere.
Yeah.
So it's an astonishing thing. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back more with United States Senator Catherine Cortez Masto after this timeout.
Early in the morning or throughout the night, professional truck drivers are on the job, serving you, safely moving freight that's crucial to our economy. From the oldest industries to our newest innovators, from the exotic to the everyday, trucks are everywhere, moving everything. Never afraid to embrace a future that makes Nevada and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
Pro Group Management offers workers' comp services to a growing number of industries. As businesses grow and change with the times, the need for a solid workers' comp program must be flexible and up to date. The evolving nature of regulations can make staying ahead of complex tasks challenging. But Pro Group Management simplifies the work so your industry can move forward and succeed. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Like a traditional handmade basket, retail is woven into the fabric of life in Nevada. From big box to mom and pop, retail supports our communities in countless ways. Jobs for the disabled, team uniforms for kids, help for the elderly, and so much more. Retail employs over 1 in 10 workers. Retail supports Nevada, and we support retail.
RANNV.org.
As you know, Reno is booming. Toll's Development Company is helping it grow with insightful design and development, building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Toll's Development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. tollsdevelopment.com.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation coming to you from D.C. with United States Senator Catherine Cortez Masto. Immigration continues to still be one of the biggest issues that the public refers to when they're talking about this election cycle. What are your thoughts on where we are? Because it seems like we continue to go around in circles.
Well, here's what I see politically, and it's unfortunate because I see some of my Republican colleagues, including Donald Trump, playing politics with this issue. And they're conflating two issues. One is border security, and the other is the Dreamers, their families, and those who have been in our communities and living here and want to be a crucial part of our economy and our jobs, right? They're conflating the two, saying it's all horrible and we don't want any of them. Well, that's not the case. What really is the truth of all of it, and believe me, as an attorney general, I've been to the border, and just recently as senator, I've been to the Tucson sector. We need more resources at our southern border. There's no doubt about it. We need to support our border security. We need to support our border patrol, the customs agents, everybody down there. They were overwhelmed by the numbers that were coming through. What does that mean? That means we also were concerned about what I know as a former attorney general, human trafficking happening at that border, drug trafficking happening at the border, weapons trafficking was going undetected because they were overwhelmed by the numbers of immigrants who were coming at the border. And so that's why I supported the bipartisan border security bill that we negotiated, that President Biden and Vice President Harris supported, that we needed more of those resources. We had to retool the asylum laws to address the numbers we had to make it an orderly process. But the funding was essential for the reasons I just talked about, to also address the human trafficking and the drug trafficking that we were seeing at the border. We actually negotiated a really good bill. It was Republicans, Democrats, and nonpartisans in the Senate. And on the eve of us thinking we had the votes to pass it in the Senate, Donald Trump basically got out on Twitter and on the internet and said, don't pass it. And he said, don't pass it, because he wanted the chaos to continue at the southern border so he could use it as a political opportunity to throw it in Joe Biden's face. And so it didn't go anywhere. And the challenge we have right now is, and that's why Kamala Harris is still talking about, you send me that bill, I'll sign it. It is a good bill. But we can do our, we can actually put resources there and address the border issue, but we can also address Dreamers and pass legislation to help our Dreamers, their family members. We can also pass legislation to help so many of non-immigrants who are married to U.S. citizens, who have raised their kids here, who want to be part of our economy, who want to create jobs or be a part of the workforce. We can do both.
Okay, so let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. The question that always comes up is, you know, comprehensive immigration reform. But my thought is that we've been trying that since 1986 and it's gone nowhere. Isn't it time for us to look at, you know, separating out pieces of this and doing it one at a time so that we can get to where we need to get to, because the comprehensive has not worked?
Well, we did. I will tell you, under Trump administration, we actually negotiated a DREAM Act and a farm workers bill. Two separate ones. On the eve of us moving that in a bipartisan way, again, Trump tanked it. He basically said, he originally said, bring me a bill and I'll sign it. And we did, a bipartisan bill. And then he didn't sign it. And he said it was bad and we're not going to move it forward. So there's a distinction between Trump and a right wing who don't want to do anything because they want it for political fodder and political opportunism, and then those that really want to find solutions. And I think there is the will to, for those that want to find solutions, to either do it a piece at a time or comprehensively. I think it is important we get it done. But when you have somebody who's running for president of the United States and his political allies on the far right that are continuing to fear-monger about it and scare people about it and want to use it for political opportunism, that does not support, unfortunately, or give support to those Republicans in the Senate, even in the House, who really would want to try to get something done. And that's what you need. You need this bipartisanship, which it should be, to get this done.
Okay, so let me ask you this. As a promotional thing to make people more feel more comfortable about reforming immigration, I don't think the point is made that for every retiree on Social Security, you need 16 people working to support them, because otherwise the funding is not there. And our birth rate is not high enough to be able to sustain that. So isn't that something that should be talked about more?
I'll do you one even along with that. As you go into northern Nevada and you talk to our farmers and ranchers, who do you think is working those farms? Because the Americans are not taking those jobs. And so it is the guest worker visas or those immigrants who are coming in and willing to work in the agricultural community that puts food on our tables across the country. It is essential that we get this done and work together. But again, I'm going back to when you have somebody who's running for president right now who basically has said if he becomes president, he's going to deport everybody that's undocumented in this country. He's going to deport everyone. And he is still talking about folks at the border that are criminals that are coming in. And by the way, because the Biden administration has actually implemented a number of things that they couldn't get done in this bipartisan border Act, the numbers at the border have gone down. Okay, they've actually gone down.
Before we take a break, may I point out that the president that deported the most amount of people was actually President Obama. Mm-hmm. So that number should at least be out there. All right, let's take a break, and we'll be right back with U.S. Senator Catherine Cortez Masto after this timeout.
For me, there's nothing more important than getting my patients the care they need. So when I hear that Sam Brown supports allowing states to ban abortion, even in cases of rape, even to protect the life of the mother, I know what that would mean. When doctors' hands are tied, the results can be catastrophic, but Sam Brown doesn't seem to care. Sam Brown has shown that he is not looking out for the best interests of my patients. He is way too extreme for Nevada.
Wynn Senate is responsible for the content of this ad.
Hit the open road on a brand new Harley or win a bundle of cash during the $250,000 Harley-Davidson giveaways at Carson Valley Inn. Thousands in weekly giveaways, plus multiple grand prize winners, including cash and seven brand new Harleys. Now at the Carson Valley Inn.
Welcome to the Winnemucca Big R.
Hi, I'm John Walker. Welcome to Big R Lovelock.
Hi, I'm Rich Martin. Welcome to Fallon Big R.
My name is Braden. Welcome to Big R Fernley.
Hi, I'm Kelly. Welcome to Big R Sparks.
For 50 years, Nevada Heating has been keeping people comfortable in their homes. At Nevada Heating, call the Do It Right guys and get the air conditioning back on today. That's the Nevada Heating way. Why sweat for days on end when Nevada Heating can get your air conditioning fixed today? Call us today and we'll fix it today at 323-5585 or schedule us on our website at nevadaheating.com.
Save money and take transit. Did you know you can ride the bus all day for less than what it would cost you for a gallon of gas? Plan your trip now by going to rtcwashoe.com.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with United States Senator Catherine Cortez Masto. No taxes on tips. Where's that going?
Well, I will tell you, I think part of it is a bluff on Donald Trump's part. I know actually this is something, again, if we're talking about political opportunism, I see it happening. I come from Southern Nevada, organized labor family. I also know that Donald Trump has a hotel in Southern Nevada.
Okay, but don't you support
this? Let me just say a couple things. Let me finish.
Okay.
All right. Because I do think this is a perfect example of how people are playing politics with individuals, right? There's one faction that just, it's a bluff, they don't want to do it, they are just saying it for political opportunism. There's another faction that actually says, wait a minute, if you're going to come into my state and you want to keep more money in people's pockets in the service industry, that is the revenue generator for a state, then I'm all for it. I'm all for it and I support that. But that is one piece of how we should be lowering costs for families in general. We need to keep more money in their pocket. It is also including healthcare and lowering costs around healthcare. More seniors get more money in their pocket. Prescription drug negotiation, capping the cost of insulin. For our working families, a child tax credit, earned income tax credit. So it's a combination of things of how we should be focused on really following through and lowering costs for families. That's where this plays into. One side's playing politics, the other side is really focused on what we should be doing to lower costs, and this is part of that equation.
Okay, but I should also point out, because normally when we come to D.C., we just talk policy, and there's a difference between a campaign and actual governing. And so we're in the middle of a campaign, and so all kinds of things are said on both sides that may be somewhat exaggerated or to get people excited. Are you concerned that there are going to be people staying home and not voting? Because,
well, let me jump back to your previous comment, because you're absolutely right. Because there is a difference between the two. At the end of the day, what happens here in Congress is the reality.
Yes.
Right? It's us coming together to find solutions and not continue to play politics with people's lives. Unfortunately, that still is playing out to some extent. But I want people in Nevada also to know that there's more bipartisan work here being done than they even realize, because it is not something that the national news picks up on.
No, right? I couldn't agree with you
more. And so it is important that people understand that. I think from my perspective, and I think the in delegation in Nevada, that we work so well both across the aisle and trying to solve problems and get that work done here. You're going to have really, campaigning happening and people making promises. At the end of the day, it is bringing it back here. And what is that focus for Congress? Well, I can tell you that focus for me is, particularly in Nevada, lowering those costs for our working families. How do we continue to create those jobs? How do we continue to grow the economy? But how do we help our working families? How do we build affordable housing? How do we address the health care needs of our community? We've come so far, and we've done some of it, but we still have more work to do. And that's what I will be looking at as United States Senator going into the next Congress.
Right. But I think your point is it's worth reinforcing, which is that a lot more gets done in Congress than people give you credit for. Omnibus bills contain lots of things that people need, and the media really doesn't cover those issues, and it's all about the noise on the right, and it's all about the noise on the left.
That's right.
So you can go from Donald Trump to Bernie Sanders and have, you know, a wide swath of opinions, and I think it would be great if other media would cover what gets done in a bipartisan manner rather than just the noise.
Yeah, I agree.
We are out of time, sadly, but I always enjoy visiting with you, and I thank you for taking the time. This is a very busy time in Congress, so we appreciate you being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Great to see you, Sam.
Thank you, and we'll be right back.
Nevada Newsmakers Goes to Washington is brought to you by Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. NV Energy. NV Energy proudly serves Nevada, providing electricity to 2.4 million electric customers. The Nevada Mining Association, mining a better future for Nevada. And University Medical Center of Southern Nevada, offering the highest level of care in Nevada.
Come celebrate Tamarack Casino's 23rd anniversary with $50,000 in giveaways this September. $5,000 big cash winners every Saturday. And a $10,000 big cash winner during the grand finale celebration on September 28th. Your good times are at Tamarack Casino.
Imagine a magical garden that feeds Carson City's hungry and homeless, teaches our high school students agriculture, creates hanging floral displays to beautify downtown, and yet charges nothing. It's not magic. It's the Greenhouse Project. It's real. It's growing. And it needs your help. Go online to carsoncitygreenhouse.org so together we can grow it forward.
Watching Nevada Newsmakers from Washington, D.C. We'll see you on the next broadcast. Thanks for watching.